spring savings are happening now at Strickland Sales and Service with Husqvarna. Cut, trim, and clear with powerful Husqvarna chainsaws, trimmers, and blowers. Now up to $70 off. Shop local and save at Strickland Sales and Service today. Limited time offer while supplies last. Exclusions apply.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 2 and 3 o'clock this afternoon. Plenty to be getting our teeth stuck into on this Thursday afternoon. We'll be talking about Reading. They sacked their manager, José Gomes, after just 8 wins in 34 Championship games. They're currently third from bottom. What does the future hold for Reading? Who will be the new manager in at the Medeski Stadium? We'll also be talking about Charlton, have made a solid start to life, having been promoted into the Championship, although the next 4 games look pretty tough on paper. We'll also be talking about some of the youngsters that are currently impressing in the Championship. Who is really impressing you at your club at a young age and potentially could Premier League clubs be looking at investing in those in the windows to come? We'll also be bringing you some other sporting lines. The Rugby World Cup has kind of come into the forefront of people's minds, not just for the matters on the field, but because of Typhoon Hagibis. England's game against France cancelled, but will Scotland's game against Japan also be cancelled? And we'll also be talking about some of the international games that are happening tonight in the world of football. Some of the home nations involved, the Northern Ireland play the Netherlands, Wales are playing Slovakia, Scotland take on Russia, and we'll also have updates from Brazil playing against Senegal, which is currently happening in Singapore. So make sure you stay with us this afternoon here on Love Sport. It is the Championship Fan Show here on Love Sport. This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us, call us on 0208 70 20 558. As I mentioned, Reading have decided to part ways with José Gomes. He sacked as the manager with the Royals third from bottom after 8 wins in 34 Championship games. And to talk all things Reading, I'm delighted to say we're joined by Paul Mann from Elm Park Royals. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Paul. When you look at it like that, 8 wins in 34 Championship games and third from bottom, did it really come as a surprise, or is it at that moment in time where the moment actually happens, it's a little bit surprising?
I don't think it was really massively surprising for a lot of fans. He's actually got the lowest win ratio in the last century for a Reading manager, 23.7%. I think a lot of people were surprised because they gained a lot of kind of trust with him because we had Portugal there at the end of last season. The atmosphere he improved massively when he came along. So I think I was a little bit surprised, but yeah, as you say, the numbers don't look good for him at all.
It's now the third manager to depart from Reading in 19 months after Jaap Stam and Paul Clement. Is this becoming a bit of a vicious cycle where managers aren't being given enough time, or do you think that Gomes, as well as the likes of Clement and Stam, were given the sufficient time frame to actually start implementing things and start taking the club forward?
I think they're definitely not being given enough time. If you keep on changing a manager that rapidly, no manager is going to have a chance. There'd be people who say that they would. I think the issue we've got is we're appointing the wrong people. The structure, we had Ron Gourlay before. Now we've got Mark Bowen in, and hopefully we see some continuity in the background, which we used to have with Nick Hammond. When we're changing manager, there's always someone there as a constant stream. So I'm hoping this next person gets at least 12 months. Will they? I'm not sure.
Gomes was backed in the summer transfer window. There were a number of signings that the team made. Romanian George Puskas signed from Inter Milan. Lucas Joao signed from Sheffield Wednesday. Ovio Jaria signed on loan with an obligation to buy from Liverpool. So is that perhaps a reason they look at and think you were backed in the summer? It wasn't as if you had very restricted funds, very restricted ability to go and sign players, and you just simply haven't been able to get things going in a positive way.
Yeah, you're totally right on that. He's one of the rare managers you can actually say he's been backed in the summer market. He's got no excuses on that front. Puskas is probably, and not to put the weight on one player, one of the major reasons why he's not actually still at Reading Football Club. He's missed some huge chances, no more than the one against Bristol City last Saturday. All he has to do is make connection with that ball and it's probably going into the net. it's just so, it's a shame to see this buy all these good players in, like Ijari, who we had last season. And I feel like they're being wasted. And hopefully, with the Knicks manager, he'll be able to utilise them properly.
Do you think that in any way that clubs around Reading can influence the decision of the owners? For example, Barnsley made the decision early this week that Daniel Stendel wasn't the right man for them, and they sacked him, and Barnsley are in around the same position as Reading. So do you think there's a case that could be said that clubs do react to what other clubs are doing in terms of thinking, well, if they're changing their manager already, they've made that big, bold call to make the decision now, give the next manager time, and do you think that might have influenced Reading's decision to let José Gomes go?
Yeah, I think so. I think that in the league position combined, if other teams, like you say, are making a move, we can't be seen to be left stranded and thinking by the next international break, oh, we should have done it and the other clubs are starting to move away. I think that's a valid point, yeah.
It's just 11 goals in 11 league games so far this season. Is it too simplistic, Paul, to suggest that is where the exact problem lies for Reading? They are simply not scoring enough. Having one goal a game isn't going to win you many games.
I think that's definitely a part of the problem. We've also conceded 17 goals, though, in those 11 matches. So it's at both ends of the pitch. We've not been tight enough, or we've not scored enough. We've created some great chances, like I just said about Puskas, but they haven't been taking them. So after you spent the money, I don't think you can really complain.
Interesting to read some of the comments that Gomes made in a statement released by the League Managers Association. He said, "I strongly believe that the quality of the players that the club has at its disposal is sufficient to finish the season in the battle for promotion. Considering where Reading are at the moment, now granted it is a very long season in the Championship, is that strange for him to say that? Is that kind of an honest admission that he was getting nowhere near as much out of these players that he should have been?"
I'm not sure. Sometimes with José Gomes, he's an incredibly personal character. But even on the day he arrived in December last year, he said the aim was to get in the Premier League. After the summer market, like you've just been saying, we're aiming to get in the Premier League. I don't think most fans believe that, Reading fans. I definitely didn't believe it. It just doesn't seem possible, really. I mean, if you look at our position, he was even saying that on Saturday. I don't know who he's trying to convince, himself, the players, or the owners. I'm not sure.
When he was appointed last December, not just you, but amongst Reading fans in general, was there an underwhelming feeling, thinking, questioning who on earth this guy even was? Or was there perhaps a little bit that you thought, oh, this is an exciting appointment, a little bit different, a little bit left field, and this could be one of those masterstroke appointments by the club? Or is it just another on a long list of failures that was doomed to fail from the outset?
I definitely was thinking a little bit, maybe. You kind of hope that as a football fan that it is one of those inspired moments, like someone like Daniel Farke, Norwich City, coming in from nowhere, really, or David Wagner at Huddersfield. But the first thing I did when I saw his name, honestly, was look him up on Wikipedia, because I'd never heard of him. And I think that's like most Reading fans, that we hadn't seen anything of him before. He was a name that just appeared, and we looked at his history. And in most clubs, I think he had a record of being at clubs for 56 days. So that was a worrying sign straight away.
Obviously, the attention now, Paul, inevitably, when the manager leaves, is who is the man to replace him and who fans would like. But then that's different to potentially who would come in. Looking at some of the odds as to who the favourites are at the moment, the likes of Mark Hughes, Gareth Ainsworth, Chris Hughton and Phil Parkinson are right up there amongst the top favourites for the job. If for you, rather than kind of trying to predict what Reading's hierarchy might do, which one of those names or potentially another name would you like to come in to see at the Medeski Stadium as the new manager?
My ideal person would be Chris Hughton. He's got such a good record in the Championship. He's built teams from the back. That's exactly what we need. We need that foundation laid. Whether it happen, I'm not convinced it will, because if you're going to come to a club that's repeatedly sacking managers in a very short period, I'm not optimistic. Another name that you mentioned, Phil Parkinson, I think that's one that really splits the fans, because he's a Reading legend, but his record in the Championship isn't that impressive. So, yeah, we'll have to wait and see on that one.
So this is for the ninth time that Reading are looking for a new manager in 10 years. Does it kind of feel like this next appointment, without wanting to use too much hyperbole, is the difference between Reading staying up and potentially, if they get it wrong, relegation down into League One?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We are knocking on that League One relegation door for the last 2 or 3 years. There's only so many years that you can do that, and this appointment has to be the right one. I just really hope, as a fan, and I'm sure most of our other fans as well do think exactly the same, we've got to have someone who's going to come in and not just be here for 6 months. You've got to have that long-term plan, because otherwise we're just going to be back in this situation next season exactly the same. And yeah, League One is, at the moment, I'd say we're set for League One. That's what I'd say.
Why have things kind of turned so sad? Because you think back to the end of August, the last win for Reading was on the 24th of August when they beat Huddersfield. It was a good start, 7 points in 7 days after wins against Cardiff and Huddersfield and a draw against West Brom, who are right at the top of the table. Why have things changed so dramatically from the first three games, where things looked ideal for Reading after a good summer of recruitment, to now where Gomes has lost his job?
I think in that those three games that you just mentioned, that we played 3-5-2, so that was a formation change. And I think partly that surprised those three teams. I think also there was a slight difference in the formation that we played then. Even Liam Moore, our captain, said recently after the Fulham defeat that we played a flat back three or five, whatever you want to call it, in those games. And in all the other games, we've been playing the fullbacks very high. And that's left in particular Liam Moore exposed and whoever's been alongside him. I think Gomes is tinkered with the situation of the formation too much. I don't think that's helped him. I don't think the players really knew what they were doing, apart from that week when it worked. And so I'm not quite sure why he changed it.
And just finally, then, Paul, looking ahead to whoever it is, whether a new manager is in place, the next game straight after the international break isn't an easy one. It is a home game, but it's against Preston, who are third place. Alex Neil doing a good job at Deepdale. How tough a proposition is this going to be? And do you think a new manager will be in charge for that game? And will that massively help having someone in permanent charge before we get to that game?
Yeah, you would hope having a new manager and you get that cliche kind of new bounce, which we don't always see. But Preston North End would be a really tough match. Our home form is absolutely abysmal. I think we've lost 4 out of 5 in the league this season already and probably deserve to lose all of them. So anyone coming to the Medeski, you'd normally go home with 3 points. But let's hope that the Preston match is the start of a new era. We say that again for that 10th time in the last 10 years. So hopefully that will be.
Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Paul. That was Paul Mann from Elm Park Royals talking about Jose Gomes losing his job at the Medeski Stadium. It started all so well at the start of this season. As I mentioned, 7 points from the first three games in the first week of the season, but things have turned pretty sour. No win for Reading since the 24th of August against Huddersfield. 11 goals in just in 11 league games. And that has cost Gomes his job. Obviously, the attention turns to who will be the man to replace him. Paul suggested, well, he was adamant that the ideal man for the job would be Chris Hughton, but wondered whether that would be possible, considering this is the 9th manager that that Reading are looking for in the last 10 years. So who will be the new manager there? Obviously, Barnsley also on the lookout for a new manager. Millwall still haven't appointed a permanent manager. Adam Barrett took over on a caretaker basis on the weekend against Leeds. So plenty of championship clubs. We always talk about Premier League clubs looking for new managers and sacking managers left, right and centre. Well, it most certainly also happens in the Championship. Two of the bottom three looking for new managers. Stoke, you can imagine, probably will sack Nathan Jones very, very soon. Huddersfield have already made the change down in 21st to Danny Cowley. So plenty of managers have already lost their job clubs looking for new managers. If you've got a view on that, Reading fans, as to were you surprised, are you disappointed that Jose Gomes has lost his job? And now that they have made that decision, who is your ideal replacement? And also, a big difference, who do you want? Who do you think the club will also appoint? Can they attract Chris Hughton, who was at Brighton last season, who were in the Premier League? Can they attract him to Reading, who are sat 22nd in the Championship? Call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We're also on WhatsApp. We'll be turning our attention to Lee Bowyer's side, Charlton, after the break. We'll be talking about their 2-2 draw away at Fulham, whether they're dealing with the absence of Lyle Taylor, and whether they regret letting Carlin Grant join Huddersfield. So we're talking all things Charlton next.
Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're going to be turning our attention to all things Charlton now. And I'm delighted to say we're joined by Lewis Katz, pundit for fan podcast and radio show Charlton Live. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Lewis. On the weekend, it was a 2-2 draw away at Fulham just before the international break. Charlton did take the lead twice before being pegged back twice. Was it a case of coming away from that game feeling like 3 points were there to be had for Charlton?
You know what? I'd say a little bit. Yeah, you always do feel that bit disappointed when you go ahead in the game. I mean, when we were talking amongst ourselves before kickoff on Saturday, I think we sort of expected that if we get anything out of this, it would be a great result, because you look at Fulham's side on paper and the names they've got in that starting 11 and even on the bench are class players. That, you know, their front line is a Premier League front line. So I think we were looking at it thinking if we can get anything out of this game, it'd be one hell of an achievement. So to go 1-0 up and then again to go 2-1 up so shortly after conceding, was, you felt a little bit disappointed to come away with a draw in the end. But if you look at it on paper over the last couple of weeks, to get 4 points out of Swansea, Leeds and Fulham is pretty good going for Charlton.
There was another goal on the weekend for Conor Gallagher. He scored 4 goals this season. How are Charlton doing up front without the services of Lyle Taylor at the moment? Obviously, he has 5 goals scored near the beginning of the season. Is that injured at the moment? How far away is Taylor from a comeback?
Well, I mean, he's at the moment, it's probably well documented, he's really got his focus on his Pink October and raising money for cancer research. So he's come out a couple of times and he's given a few updates on his injury. I think it's probably still going to be 3 or 4 weeks, judging by what he said on Sky at the weekend. So we're going to have to cope that a little bit longer. Of course, we've got the international break this weekend and we've got another one in November. So I'd like to think that he'll be back by the Millwall game, which is the 9th of November, which it seems fitting for our talisman to come back for our rivalry fixture. But in terms of coping without him, I've been really impressed lately with Macaulay Bond, who's come into the side with experience only in non-league with Leighton Orient last year, but scored plenty of goals. Somebody who's young and we bought as a bit of a project, and weren't really expecting a huge amount from him, if we're being truthful. And he's come in the last couple of games and he's really impressed me. His hold-up play is fantastic and he's managed to score 2 goals in the last 3 games. So he's someone I've been really impressed with, and he's really grasped that opportunity to come in and replace Lyle Taylor while he's out of the side, and it would be really good to see him in the side alongside Taylor once Lyle's fit again.
As you mentioned a few moments ago, it's been a tough kind of run of games actually for Charlton. It started with that home game against Leeds where Charlton won 1-0, a tough home game against Swansea that you lost 2-1, and then that game away at Fulham which was 2-2 that could have been all 3 points. Do you think that's Charlton proving that even though they only got promoted for this season from League One, that they are fully capable of taking any side on? It won't always result in 3 points, but they are competitive. Not the game that they lost, they only lost by 1 goal, so they're showing that they are competitive.
100%. You know, Lee Bowyer said from the off, we're not here just to make up the numbers. We're here to compete and we're here to challenge. And I think any side at the moment would fear coming up against Charlton, because there's just such a positivity around the place. You take the ownership out of it, which is well documented that that's not popular. We all know that. But on the pitch, the players, the squad, Lee Bowyer, the fans at the moment, we're selling out away grounds up and down the country. We've just sold out West Brom. We're taking just shy of 2,000 up there. This is the sort of support we wouldn't have got even in the Championship last time around. And it's just that the positivity of having someone in charge that fans can really get behind, and maybe being the underdog and proving people wrong all season is a good position to be in, because the pressure's off. I mean, I've said it numerous times, if we finish anywhere above the relegation zone this season, we'd be overachieving. And at the moment, we're in the upper end of the table. We're only 4 points off of West Brom, who are top, and we're playing them at the end of the month. So that'll be a really interesting game. And it's just it's a really interesting journey at the moment that we're on. I think that we're proving a lot of people wrong. And I think we're not just surprising people from the outside looking in, we're also surprising supporters of our own club, and myself included. You know, there's no way I'd have dreamed to be in the position that we're in at the moment. I'm not going to get carried away, because I don't want that to take over. I just want to enjoy this season and carry on progressing as a football club, and hopefully we can make a real challenge of it this year and get a really good finish behind ourselves. And then who knows, if that can attract a bit of new ownership and we can properly invest and properly compete, there's no reason why, especially with Lee Bowyer at the helm, that we can't challenge for the upper end of the table and push for a promotion to the Premier League.
As you mentioned, from the outside looking in, it looks like Lee Bowyer has done a terrific job. The constraints he's under last season, and then the comical kind of situation that unfolded over the summer where it was announced that he was leaving, and then a day later he was then announced that he was staying at the club. 10th place after 11 games on 18 points. Do you think there may be a bit of a risk that Charlton feel like they've got a nice buffer and a nice protection, that they might kind of perhaps take the foot off the accelerator, and that might risk them falling a little bit down the table?
I don't think Lee Bowyer would allow any side that he manages to take their foot off the gas. I think that he's a winner. You know, when you're a player, and of course a player like Lee Bowyer, who was fiery in himself and had the reputation he did, he instills that into his players. You've only got to look at Conor Gallagher, as you mentioned earlier. He's someone that's come in on loan from Chelsea, playing his first season in senior football. Looks like he's been around for ages. And that's because he's being coached and studied by Lee Bowyer. And he again, is someone that's inherited this fiery personality, that if there's an issue in a game and there is a bit of a scuffle, then Conor Gallagher will stand up and be a man about it. And a lot of the team are like that. And I think that we're so competitive at the moment, and that you can tell that whole team will run and run and run for each other, and they will work for each other. And you can see it every game, even when we go behind, even that Swansea game where we probably were a little bit off the pace. I think it's just because we truly go for it for the first half especially, and we probably run out of steam a little bit towards the end. So there's always going to be, we're always going to lose games. We know that we aren't going to go, we're going to lose games this season. We've lost to Swansea so far, which was no mean feat, and we had two disappointing defeats at Birmingham and Wigan as well. We are going to lose this, and that's just common knowledge. But the way that we're progressing as a football club, in comparison to maybe the other promoted clubs, and to where people expected us to be at this point, is phenomenal. And the full credit has to go to Lee Bowyer, and I genuinely believe that we'll just carry on doing that, and we're going to carry on surprising teams, and it's going to be a really interesting season for us.
It looks like a tough run of games, though, Lewis, after the international break, after a home game against Derby. It's then three big tests: Bristol City away, West Brom away, and then Preston at home. Is this a period where you're sort of thinking, if Charlton can just get through this period reasonably unscathed, then they can really push on from there? Or is it a period of time that you look at and worry about kind of taking on some big teams there? West Brom top of the table, Preston in third, Bristol City sixth, all sides in promotion, either automatic or playoff positions, that this is going to be a real test for this Charlton side?
I mean, it will be a test. I think every week's a test, regardless of the opposition. But then you only have to look back at the Leeds game a few weeks ago. They were top of the table, and we defeated them. You could argue that the stats were going Leeds' way, but I was a spectator at that game, and of course they had the efforts. But I reckon every single effort that they had fell into Rosehead's. So if anything wants to keep up, have the possession, and keep sticking it in Rosehead's, whether they're top of the league or bottom of the league, they can do it as much as they like, because we're a clinical side. We've had the least amount of shots in the division, but we're still sat in 10th place. And I think that Lee Bowyer as a manager will be confident going into any game this season, regardless of whether it's against Leeds United, whether it's against West Brom, whether it's against Stoke at the bottom of the table, you know, against anybody. I think that any Lee Bowyer side is sort of sculpted to win. And he has this mentality that he's instilled in his players that makes players work for each other and graft for each other. And I'd say that every single player in this squad at the moment is buying into what Bowyer believes in. And I think that's extremely rare. I think you don't find that in football enough these days, where players will go the full distance for each other. You know, there are players in our squad like Johnny Williams, who has been absolutely phenomenal since he's pulled on a Charlton shirt. And he's somebody that's been completely, you know, plagued with injury throughout his career. He's still only young, and he's getting good recognition now for the Welsh national side. He's getting assists constantly. He's getting runs in games, and he's completing minutes that he wouldn't have dreamt of completing a while ago, because he wasn't fit enough and he was picking up all these injuries. And players are here improving, and there's the same thing with loan players that we bring in. Clubs are keen to send their young talent here because we know that we can improve them, and we guarantee that if we send that player back, that they're going to go back a better player, like we probably will with Gallagher, like we did with Christian Bielik last season, and like we're doing with Josh Cullen for the second season. I think that Charlton's a good place to be to develop, and I think that all these young talents that are coming in here working under somebody like Lee Bowyer, a young promising manager that's got fire in his belly and is competitive and wants to win, is a really positive solution. And I just feel so happy to be a Charlton fan at the moment, which is something that I haven't said a lot recently. If you take the playoff final out of it, you know, all the ownership dramas that we have, and even in the summer after the playoff final, when it looked like Lee Bowyer was going to be on his way out with the contract agreement, there's always some sort of drama around the corner. But right now, I can't remember being this content as a Charlton supporter, and that speaks volumes considering the position we're in the boardroom.
And just finally, Lewis, I wanted to get your views on someone that is impressing at another club. Carlin Grant has made an impressive start at Huddersfield this season. He scored 6 goals already. Obviously, he came through the Charlton Academy. Do you feel like, one, Charlton got the right price for him? And two, does it now look, obviously we can look back at it with hindsight, but was it the right move? If you kind of, obviously you're a Charlton fan at heart, so you'll perhaps instinctively think, no, he didn't make the right move. But is it easy to say it now? And at the time, it was different because Huddersfield were in the Premier League, even though it looked like they were going to get relegated, and Charlton were in League One.
With Carlin, it's a difficult one because whilst seeing that he could have made his move to the Premier League, which I completely agree why he would have done, I do believe that Huddersfield were probably the wrong decision because, as you've mentioned there, they looked pretty, you know, stonewall that they were going to get relegated anyway. Were we looking like we were going to get promoted then? Potentially, it's a big move, you know, it's a big risk to make. But when you look at it on paper, in Carlin's head, he's probably thinking, my worst case scenario next season is that I'm playing Championship football, where if I remain at Charlton, my worst case scenario is that I'm still here in League One. And that's probably the gamble he'd played. Of course, he's at Huddersfield now scoring goals, and it doesn't surprise me because he's a fantastic player. He's a natural finisher, and he's someone with pace. And somebody that frustrated me when he first came into the Charlton side and was probably bloodied too early by Bob Peters back in 2014, when he came into the side and looked a little bit off the pace, but we didn't have any options. And he came in, and it knocked his confidence massively. He went out on a loan spell to Crawley and came back a completely different player. And we benefited from that last season in the early stages, especially. I was gutted to see him go because I think I had belief all season last year that we could have got promoted or at least challenged for it. Luckily, we did in the end. And it'll be nice, you know, this season that we're going to come up against him and we're going to be in the same division. But I was surprised that he made that move because I think if he'd have stuck around at Charlton until the end of the season, regardless of how we did, he probably could have attracted another Premier League suitor that would probably still be playing at that level now. But he'll be pushing now. I can't see him staying at Huddersfield for much longer if they don't start progressing up the table. I think that somebody with a bigger budget and that's pushing towards the top end of the table, you know, like a Leeds or a Swansea, would have no hesitation in taking Carlin Grant off their hands.
Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Lewis. That was Lewis Catt, a pundit for Fan Podcast and Radio Show Charlton Live. It has been an impressive start for Charlton. Got promoted from League One. You compare that to Barnsley, who are really struggling to sack their manager, considering the constraints that Lee Bowyer is under. It's doing a terrific job. 10th place on 18 points after 11 games, just 2 points away from the playoff spots. It is a tough run, though, after Derby at home, Bristol City away, West Brom away, and Preston at home. And interesting to get his views on Carlin Grant, because now it seems like he did make the wrong move, because Charlton are now quite a bit higher in the Championship table than Huddersfield. But at the time, Huddersfield were in the Premier League, Charlton were in League One. But Lewis was of the opinion that had he waited until the end of the season, he would currently be playing at a current Premier League side rather than moving to a Premier League side at that point in time and then were relegated. And perhaps you put Carlin Grant into his team, maybe Charlton would be even better. But they do have, obviously, Lyle Taylor, who's out injured at the moment, and the likes of Conor Gallagher and Macaulay Bourne are stepping up in his absence. Any Charlton fans out there that share your views on how impressed you've been with Charlton's starts the season and whether you can push for a playoff spot? Call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Lovesport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. We're going to be talking a little bit about Carlin Grant, amongst other players, some of the youngsters that are impressing in the Championship. We'll be revealing some of the names that are impressing us in the Championship at a young age next.
This is Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us, call us at 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. We're going to now be focusing on some of the youngsters that are impressing in the Championship, not just at the start of the season, but over the last couple of years, wondering, are they going to make the move to the Premier League side? Should Premier League clubs be interested in them? I'm joined by producer Laurie in the studio. Let's focus firstly on Jared Bowen at Hull. He's got 4 goals and 2 assists, had a really good season last season. He's been linked to Arsenal, Southampton. He's been even linked to Newcastle over the last couple of months. He's just 22. Are you surprised that a Premier League club didn't go in for him in the summer, considering he was being so highly talked about even kind of 12 months ago?
Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, I think the thing about Jared Bowen is what did he, was Hull's top scorer last year, was it 22 goals? So, you know, that's a really decent return. And we know that it doesn't always translate into the Premier League. And the only thing that I can think is that it's kind of the age aspect. But we've seen with other people like Jack Clarke at Leeds that Tottenham weren't afraid to go in, sign him and loan him straight back. So that would have seemed like potentially a sensible option. Obviously, is it only the top teams in the Premier League that can kind of really take that policy potentially? You know, Brighton aren't going to want to pay £20 million for a player and then just not be able to access them straight away. So there's potentially that aspect of it, wanting to give him a little bit more time in the Championship to develop. But yeah, I mean, someone of that age scoring that number of goals in the Championship would have seemed like, you know, an obvious choice for a lot of Premier League clubs who need goals.
And also, the thing that I think impresses most about Jarrod Bowen, he's not playing in a side that is right up there amongst the top echelons of the Championship. He's not playing in a team full of creative players that will contribute to the number of goals he's scoring or will get on the end of crosses. He's playing in probably a below average, definitely Championship side in Hull. So to be able to produce the numbers that he is, surely should be enough to convince a Premier League side, even if it is for £20, £25 million. Surely that is a very shrewd investment in a still what is a very young player at 22.
Yeah, I think Hull are about 20th in the league at the minute. They're not flying high at all. But I'm not sure whether Grant McCann has been someone who's been like a positive influence in terms of staying at the club. I know he was completely in his defence last week when Bowen was booked for simulation. It looked like someone maybe stood on him, but you know, he was booked for diving and Grant McCann was completely right behind him and they seem to have quite a good relationship going on. So I don't know if there's another aspect there where he's kind of encouraged him to stay. Will Hull really want to sell him in January? We know that January price tags kind of go through the roof. People are overpaying. But obviously, that's when Carlin Grant went to Huddersfield last year, and that is when Premier League teams are taking more risks, especially if you're in and around the relegation zone in the Premier League. You might then think, well, we're going to have to take the risk on this guy scoring goals in the Championship. That's a risk worth taking.
Another player, young player, that's impressing at the age of just 23 is Ollie Watkins at Brentford. Many people were asking the question, having sold Neil Maupay, he scored so many goals, a ridiculous number of goals for Brentford last season, made the move to Brighton. Could he kind of come into a position where he's not necessarily used to playing as an out-and-out centre-forward? I remember seeing him or tracking his progress at Exeter, having been at uni, in my first few years, he was just breaking through then. He scored 7 Championship goals this season. Is he another player that will be kind of on the radar, or do you think he's still got quite a lot to prove at that level, that he is behind the likes of a Jarrod Bowen, who's been doing it for slightly longer at that level rather than down in kind of League One, League Two?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, he wouldn't just be new to the Premier League if he did make a move. He's basically relatively new to the Championship, particularly in his position. And yeah, I think it is interesting, you know, he's been, they didn't sign a replacement for Maupay as much as they maybe tried to sign Lyle Taylor at the end of the transfer window. But yeah, I mean, Ollie Watkins' goal return, you can't really complain with. Obviously, Mitrovic has scored more than him. He's someone who's got Premier League experience. You know, he helped Fulham get up last time, so we know all about him as a goal scorer, and particularly on the international scene, which is potentially a more similar level to Championship, some of the games that he'll be playing there. And then Daniel Johnson, which is just at Preston, is just kind of one out of the blue. I think he's one off his all-time season-long goal tally for Preston. He's already got 7 goals, 4 assists or something stupid. So he's like kind of just out of nowhere had a season of productivity that is just almost alien to him. So, you know, talking about Ollie Watkins only being behind those two is, you know, a really good return. And if he can keep it up, I'm sure, irrespective of experience, he's definitely going to have suitors potentially next summer or the year after.
One man that we're mentioning in the last section to do with Charlton, a player that came through their academy, Carlin Grant, who scored 6 already, scored 4 in the Premier League the second half of last season when he signed for Huddersfield in January. He's only 22. How much are you impressed by him? Again, this is another example, a bit like Bowen at Hull. Huddersfield have made a pretty poor start to the season, and yet Carlin Grant has been able to produce 6 goals. He's not playing for Leeds, he's not playing for West Brom, he's playing for Huddersfield, who are only just above the relegation zone.
I mean, we saw that in the second half of last season in the Premier League. You know, he still even managed to get goals. as Huddersfield were going down. And it's odd actually to think about him as a young prospect, because he doesn't really feel like that. And you have to kind of remind yourself that he is only 22. But, you know, with players scoring when their teams aren't playing well, yes, it doesn't necessarily mean that a striker's bad if they're not scoring when they've got a bad team around them. But when a striker is scoring with a bad team around them, I think, you know, that's a really good sign of a real goal scorer. And we saw the first half of the season before Lyle Taylor kind of took over the baton for Charlton last year. He was completely prolific. He was on top of the goal scoring charts in that season. And so there's nothing to point to the fact that he can't really score at any level.
And just finally, a young lad at QPR, believe I've got his pronunciation right, Eberechi Eze.
I think it's Eze.
Is it Eze?
I just asked Matt.
Eze.
Outside.
Eze. That's why, that's an Eze. Like, if there you go, it's Eze for the journalists. Whenever, if he makes it into the Premier League, you've literally got your headline sorted every single week. Eberechi Eze then at QPR.
It's like Marvellous Nakamba.
Exactly. It's just you don't need to even think. It's not a case of, oh, I need to spend a minute and a few hours thinking about it. An attacking midfielder at QPR. He scored 4-2 assists. He's been linked to Tottenham and Southampton already over the last few months. Just 21. Do you think that we will see more of these types of players that quite clearly are showing a lot of talent? He's played for the England under 26 times. That Premier League teams will be all over that, in particular sides like Tottenham. You mentioned Jack Clark from Leeds. They will be all over these players and will perhaps be trying to secure them at an even younger age.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And obviously, being at QPR as a youth player, there's all the comparisons being made between him and Raheem Sterling. And I've heard it said that, you know, as much as Sterling can, you know, is skillful and had speed and could get past people, that Eze is one of those players who just glides past.
It's easy for him to get past players.
And I think he's already got completed the most dribbles in the Championship this season, like over 20 or so. So, you know, he's clearly got credentials that he could be a top player. But as with all of them, you've got to see, because there are so many of these young players who look like they are the next big thing. Victor Moses. And it doesn't always quite turn out the same way.
Maybe it's just far too easy for him. I'm here all week, every single week. Eberechi Eze, QPR, a young player, 21. So many young players in the Championship currently impressing. Will they make the move to the Premier League potentially in January? There might be clubs looking for their signatures, not waiting until next summer, potentially in the Championship or other clubs near the top of the Championship. Love Sport.